Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the podcast. Hopefully you guys have had a blessed week and a blessed and safe weekend. This is episode 21-30. Can it be? I think so. Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, episode 21-30, and it is feeling like fall in the American Redoubt. My favorite time of year. Love it. A little fire crackling here, and it's cool, and the drought, I think, is behind us, but we need a lot of rain to catch up, but I love it. It feels like fall right now. Okay, well, we got a lot of stuff to cover. Tonight, I'm going to share an audio with you from an ICU nurse blowing the lid off so much of this, and it's what I've been talking about, and then Lady Liberty and I have been talking about on Monday morning commutes, and I've added it to the posting that I have over there at Radio Free Redoubt on the website. I've embedded the video, but I am going to play about 12 or 13 minutes, the first 12 or 13 minutes from her video, because I was actually very surprised to see it still up there on YouTube. Who knows how long it'll last? And I'm sure Rumble and all the others, they're going to be reposting it to keep it. But just in case it gets snuffed out from the internet, I'm recording the internet, the audio of that in segment two. I'm going to play about the first 13 minutes of it. But I want to encourage you, as long as it's still there, go to that posting over at Radio Free Redoubt, and well, I'll talk about more of that in segment two. But in segment three, continuing on with the security series, and I'm going to be talking about encrypting text and files. There's two main programs we're going to focus on: the PTE, which is Paranoia Text Encryption, and that's one program. And then the other one is GNU PG, which uses PGP encryption, and postings that I'm going to be putting up to start walking those of you who are new to this, to walking you through getting set up and up and running so that you can use PGP encryption or the Paranoia Text Encryption, the PTE Text Encryption and File Encryption programs. The GNU PG is built into Tails, and you know, it might actually be, I think it's actually built into the Linux Ubuntu, you know, your Linux Mint. I think it's native. I'll double check that. I know I have it, but did it come native, or did I download it and forgot that I downloaded it? I will check on that this week. But there's a reason why we're going to go with GNU PG, because it is so prolific, and we've got some great videos to share with you. But first, let's get into the news and commentary. News and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, the Prepping 2.0 podcast, helping to take your preps to the next level. And the website is prepping2-0.com. First of all, over at Breitbart News, this one was picked up by the Redoubt Report, great aggregate news site. But more GOP governors are backing Biden's plan to resettle 95,000 Afghans in their states. Last week, the Biden regime announced that the first group of roughly 36,000 Afghans brought to the U.S. at rapid speed will be resettled across 46 states, including Texas, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. The only areas not receiving Afghans are Hawaii, South Dakota, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Now, we mentioned this last week. Another 8 Republicans, governors, who have since green-lighted the plan, and this is in the Boise area for Idaho, but the Spokane area already had them on video getting off the planes. The local news was covering it. But the other 8 Republican governors have since green-lighted the plan, including Alabama's Kay Ivey, Idaho's Brad Little, a.k.a. Chicken Little, Indiana's Eric Holcomb, Montana's Greg Gianforte, Nebraska's Pete Ricketts, New Hampshire's Chris Sununu, Ohio Mike DeWine, and Tennessee's Bill Lee. Not a spine left in these folks to push back against the permanent altering of the demographics of your state, of deliberately placing Afghan unvetted, not to mention the measles outbreaks now that they have, but unvetted Afghans brought in fresh from the war zone to drop right in your laps. So Republicans are embracing this. Republican governors are saying, yeah, we don't have a problem with this at all. This is very interesting and disappointing. PBS compares European conservative leaders Viktor Orban, Marine Le Pen, and Matteo Salvini to Adolf Hitler. We all love the Rick Steves travel shows. Well, Steves runs a travel show on PBS where he discusses local attractions, history, and customs of different cultures and destinations. Very well done. Love watching these. On Sunday, he traveled to Germany to discuss Adolf Hitler and World War II. Well, the segment covered Adolf Hitler's rise and fall in Germany. At the end of the show, Steves warned viewers of current fascists who, like Hitler, pose a threat to the global community. Steves then included a video of Viktor Orban of Hungary, a Christian nation, and a conservative standing for his country, refusing to accept the Islamic invasion, right? Marine Le Pen of France, which I don't know, I kind of have to agree with that one, and Matteo Salvini of Italy, populist leaders with enormous appeal. So, unfortunate to see that. I don't know if maybe he was handed, this is what you will say on this one if you want us to keep funding these travel shows for you. But disappointing. At the conservative firing line, a mayor demands all school board members resign or be charged after outrage over explicit course material. This is what we need to see more of right here. This is a mayor saying that the material that was given to students, he calls it child pornography. And you know what? He's right. It wasn't a normal Board of Education meeting. On Monday night in Hudson, Ohio, the entire school board is on the hot seat after parents were horrified at the material given to students in a writing class. So anyway, they're basically saying this is what we're going to – you're going to resign. This is what the mayor is saying. Some of the prompts from the book were, and this is a liberal arts, 642 things to write about. This is for kids. Choose how you will die. Something. These are topics that you can write about, just creative writing. Write a scene that begins with, it was the first time I killed a man. Next one. Describe your favorite part of a man's body using only verbs. You have a dream that you've murdered someone. Who it is? Who is it? And how and why did the murder happen? And what happened afterward? Next one. You're a serial killer. What TV shows are on your DVR list? Why? Write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. Rewrite the sex scene from above into one that you'd let your mom read. Unbelievable. It goes on. It goes on. Write an X-rated Disney scenario. These people not only should be fired, he says they should resign or be charged. No. You resign. Secondly, expect to be charged. We're going to prosecute you. This is not something where you tell somebody stop robbing banks or we're going to charge you with crimes. We're going to charge you with the crimes you've already committed. And you're fired. This is just outrageous. Unbelievable. Washington State now is hiring a strike team for a quarantine facility with 24/7 security. Of course, this supposedly is just for transient, you know, ship workers. It's like a hotel, right? But they're treating it like a quarantine facility. So continuing on with the charades that the plandemic is really something to be feared. What really is to be feared is the government's absolutely draconian control measures, especially in Washington State. They're out of their minds. The feds, this big J6 rally, right? Well, somebody was saying there was more media there than protesters. And of course, I'm wondering how many of the protesters were feds. Well, the feds actually did arrest one of their own at a staged Justice for J6 rally. Apparently, there was a report with this guy with a firearm, and they went and took him down. And he tells them where the gun is, and they pull out his badge. So, oops. I wonder if the Slipstream Media is going to be covering it that way. I'm really interested. I haven't really dug for it yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to cover that. All right, and then let's see. Let's go ahead and before we take a break, I want to share one with the Stark Raving Mad page. This is from the rhinopack.org, the Rhino Hunters of the Pacific Northwest. From the Stark Raving Mad news page, gangs operate within L.A. police. Import Mexico, become Mexico. Now, this was from a while back, but this kind of got recirculated. Los Angeles, California, because look at the numbers flowing across the border. It's unreal. Anyway, an unfortunate fact of life in Mexico is that the local police officer is just as likely, if not more so, to be a cartel member or affiliate as the everyday street thug. Cartels target police officers and their families because police cooperation makes their lives easier. For exactly the same reasons, gang activity is now creeping, flooding into the Los Angeles police force, as active gangs within the police department are the Bandidos, the Reapers, the Spartans, and the Executioners. These subgroups, current political correct euphemism for gang, mimic all the typical behavior patterns of the local street gangs. They have hand signs, hand signals, distinctive tattoos, and oftentimes violent initiation rites. It's estimated that 1 in 6 deputies has been invited to join one or more of these various subgroups. I'll let you go and read the rest of that over there, and you can scroll down through it. But good job over there, guys, keeping up the great work, tracking down, hunting, identifying, pointing out the rhinos among us, those who claim that they support a Republican form of government, but actually do not. All right, we'll be back with segment 2 right after this with testimony from a nurse. Stay right there.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Welcome back, Patriots. This is segment 2 of Radio Free Redoubt, the Sunday night podcast. Okay, now in this segment two, which, by the way, is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping Patriots just like you get relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. And the website is selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Okay, so in this segment, I wanted to bring your attention to a posting that I put up on Friday, which incidentally, I put up a follow-on posting as well. And thank you for to Redoubt News, who reposted that for me, because we've got resources for our service members. Very interesting. The Army regulations, it was, I want to say AR 42. Let me pull it up here real quick. AR 40-562, chapters 2-6, paragraph B, evidence of immunity based on serologic tests, documented infection, or similar circumstances under vaccination exemptions. If you have antibodies built up, you can be exempt from the vaccine because the antibodies are exactly what the vaccinations ostensibly are trying to achieve. If you already have antibodies, you don't need a vaccine, which, of course, we all know that COVID garbage is not even a vaccine. It doesn't meet the medical definition of a vaccine. Well, maybe it does this week because I know that they're redefining words. So who knows? But this is what I want to direct your attention to. The posting that we have up titled Vaccination Decision, Trust the Lord and Science or Trust Biden and Fauci. And this was updated just today. I added in a couple of things. I'm going to share with you the audio from a video by intensive care unit or ICU nurse Nicole Whitley dropping bombs on the whole COVID response. And so I want to share about 12 minutes of this with you. She references also, which many of you have heard of already, a Joe Rogan podcast, 1671, with Brett Weinstein and Dr. Pierre Corey. Dr. Pierre Corey actually testified in front of Congress, the Senate, and YouTube pulled his video. I mean, this guy's an expert in his field. He's more published than anyone else. She refers to this interview by Joe Rogan, who used ivermectin treatment and other types of treatment, but ivermectin was the primary. And they're burying this because the agenda is they need everybody to have a vaccine. So here's the thing. Let's say nobody can force you. Maybe you're self-employed. You're not up against this forced vaccine thing. It's not even really an issue for you. Nobody's trying to make you do it, but maybe you're sick. Maybe you start feeling sick. Maybe somebody in your family starts getting sick. Maybe you have someone in your family talking about going out of fear of getting sick. They're thinking about getting vaccinated. You don't have to be in fear. First of all, you belong to the Lord. And secondly, there are safe and effective proven treatments without the side effects like these vaccines are causing. So listen to this nurse. I'm going to let you listen to about the first 12 minutes of her video just so that we have it captured in case YouTube pulls this video. But when you get the opportunity, go and watch it in its full length. The other thing that I've added further down in this posting at RadioFreeReadout.com are two postings from LifeSite News. And I've got them linked in there. And these were added today as well. How Americans Can Resist Coronavirus Shot Mandates, a Comprehensive Guide. And How to Resist COVID Jab Mandates in Canada, a Comprehensive Guide. We have several Canadian listeners. So anyway, whether you're in the United States or whether you're in Canada, these are a comprehensive guide is what they're listing it as, and that's at LifeSite News. Anyway, take a listen to this, and we'll come back with segment three, talk about encryption tools with the continuing security series in segment three. But this is ICU nurse Nicole Whitley.
Hello, everybody. My name is Nicole. I am an ICU nurse, and I have been a COVID crisis response travel nurse since April of 2020. I'm making this video today to share some information with you that I think a lot of people don't know, but you are being lied to, and I think that people need to know this information. So I have a list of things that I want to talk to you about, and if you learn anything, please share this information, because the more people that know, the better. So the first of many lies is that you are being led to believe that there are no treatments for COVID. The only messaging that you hear is that vaccines and masks are the only tool that we have to fight this pandemic, and it is a downright lie. Please go listen to the Joe Rogan Joe Rogan Experience, podcast 1671. It's with evolutionary biologist Dr. Brett Weinstein and an ICU doctor named Dr. Pierre Corey, who is part of a group of doctors led by Dr. Paul Merrick, who incidentally I worked with for 3 years. And they have been looking at the use and the effectiveness of ivermectin, which is being used around the world with astounding results to treat and prevent COVID. If you learn, or if you take nothing else from this video, and if you want to know what is really going on with COVID, please go listen to that podcast and just start there. So the first thing I want to tell you what they go over in that podcast. And like I said, it's about ivermectin. If you don't know what ivermectin is, it is an anti-parasitic drug that has been showing really promising antiviral properties. And so when COVID first went down, all of these doctors around the world were trying to figure out what drugs that are currently in use that they could use to potentially fight COVID. And a group of doctors discovered some benefits with ivermectin. And it is an FDA-approved drug. It's on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines. It won the Nobel Prize in 2015, and over 4 billion doses have been given out around the world. It is an extremely well-tolerated drug with minor side effects like nausea, headache, and dizziness, and it is safer than aspirin or Tylenol. So in that podcast, they discuss some of the benefits out of the studies that people are seeing using ivermectin. And I'll just tell you about a couple of those. There was a study out of Argentina back in December of 2020 in which they had 1,200 frontline healthcare workers, which is considered high risk. They gave 800 of them prophylactic ivermectin, and prophylactic means preventative. You take it regularly. It's available in pill form. So they gave 800 of them ivermectin, and 400 of them they did not. Out of the 400 who did not take ivermectin, 58% of them got COVID. Out of the 800 who were on the ivermectin protocol, zero got COVID. That should be front page news, and yet you hear nothing about it. In Mexico, which a lot of these lesser developed nations, they don't really have the money to pay large pharmaceutical companies to develop new drugs, so they were looking how to repurpose cheap, affordable drugs. Ivermectin is off patent. It's been in use since the 70s, and so there is no financial incentive for the pharmaceutical companies to really push it. So over in Mexico, they had seen a benefit with all these studies, and they implemented a test and treat program, and if somebody tested positive or were very early in showing symptoms, they gave them ivermectin. And within 2 weeks, the hospitalization and death rates completely plummeted. Hospitalizations in those who took ivermectin versus those who did not were reduced by 75%. In India and Peru, they're really good examples because they implemented ivermectin in certain states in the country, and other areas did not. In Peru specifically, 24 of their states adopted it, and in 1 month, their death numbers were down 59%. They were down 75% after 45 days. And I just want to show you, because I think this graph does a beautiful job. So what you're looking at here in the blue is the areas where they implemented ivermectin. This is the total deaths in the country. That is the case fatalities for COVID, and then the total cases. And as you can see, when ivermectin was implemented in the blue areas, cases immediately dropped, the deaths immediately dropped, and I think it gives a really stark contrast to red. The red color is in Lima, Peru, where they did not adopt the ivermectin. And as you can see, their case numbers stayed higher, their deaths stayed higher, and for longer. And over here, after they implemented ivermectin in the blue areas, their numbers stayed down, yet in Lima, Peru, in the red, they came down initially, and then they spiked back up and took much longer to come back down. All over the world, they are seeing benefits with the use of ivermectin. There's a meta-analysis by Dr. Tess Lowry, who is actually a consultant for the World Health Organization. And meta-analysis is when somebody up here takes a look at studies down here, they extrapolate the data, they run the numbers, and essentially determine like a summary of those studies. So she did a meta-analysis, and she found that when ivermectin is used as prophylaxis, it reduced the COVID infection by an average of 86%. which is far higher than the threshold of herd immunity that they've been telling us at 70. Even if it were ineffective at treating COVID in moderate to severe cases, when it is used as prophylaxis, ivermectin is capable of driving this virus to extinction. Currently, when a patient comes to the hospital, they are treated with corticosteroids and remdesivir. It should be noted that the importance in treating most viral infections is that you want to treat them early, because it's not actually the virus that kills you. It's your systemic inflammatory response. Once your immune system goes to attack this virus, you have this severe systemic inflammatory response. So currently in the hospital, we use steroids, which helps with inflammation. So corticosteroids and remdesivir are now the standard of treatment for COVID. It is becoming well known that remdesivir does nothing. It has some pretty significant side effects, and it costs about $3,000 per treatment versus ivermectin, which would be about $3 per treatment. Corticosteroids have had a great benefit. We've been seeing it in really improving treatment protocols for the COVID patients that come in, whether they're in the hospital or in the ICU. Dr. Corey from the podcast actually is the one who had this implemented, because last May of 2021, he went to the Senate and brought them one study that showed the benefit of corticosteroids being used. And based on that one study, we adopted that protocol nationwide. Currently, there are 60 published controlled trials, with 58 of them saying that there are overwhelming positive benefits to the use of ivermectin, and yet you've probably never even heard of it. We have a drug that is safe, it is cheap, it is highly effective, and it is widely available, and it's not being used. There is no other medication to treat COVID that has simultaneously shown impacts on the prevention of transmission, viral clearance, which is how long it takes your body to get rid of the virus, the time to clinical recovery, and the survival rates. So Dr. Corey, who is part of this group called the FLCCC, he brought this information of all this amazing potential that ivermectin has in December of 2020. He went to the Senate and he gave a powerful presentation, and I suggest you look it up. He, you know, showed all the benefits, he showed all of this data, and it's still not in use. And further, his presentation to Senate has been completely wiped from the internet. They removed it from YouTube. Dr. Tess Lori, she brought her presentation, her meta-analysis that showed the overwhelming benefits, she brought that to the government in the UK. And then that video was posted on YouTube, and within 3 hours, they pulled it down. And if you look at the community guidelines for YouTube, it is, it's incredible, because you literally cannot speak about ivermectin. You cannot speak about hydroxychloroquine. The censorship is insane. So turns out that if you have a drug on the market that is to treat something, if there is a drug available that is safe and effective, you cannot get an emergency use authorization. Merck, the maker of ivermectin, attacked the safety of their own drug. They said that there doesn't seem to be any benefit, and that basically the risks are too great for one of the safest drugs known to man. Turns out Merck has a new drug that they think is going to treat COVID, and so they're seeking an emergency use authorization, and the government just gave them $356 million to develop that. The World Health Organization and the FDA will not approve this drug, ivermectin. They say that there is a lack of sufficient data, and they want the gold standard of large randomized control trials. The problem with that is that large randomized control trials cost a lot of money and they take a lot of time. And if you're drowning in an ocean and you see a piece of driftwood, why would you not grab onto that? Ivermectin is an opponent to the emergency use authorizations and the profits that can be made that are for drugs that are on patent. Your governing agencies in North America and Europe are doing everything that they can to not approve this drug, despite overwhelming evidence that it is safe and that it works. They are favoring those with financial interests, and we are paying the price. They could have stopped this in December. They knew about it in December. And they could stop it now because ivermectin also works on the variants. They could stop this at any point and they are choosing not to. So if you are somebody who has in any way been affected by the pandemic, by COVID, if it bothers you that potentially millions of people around this world have died because they will not put this in use, or if you are a healthcare worker who has watched your patients turn blue and suffocate to death, know without doubt that your government has failed you.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
All right, welcome back. This is segment three of The Voice of the American Redoubt, and a very short segment three, just because I am kind of priming you for some resources that I'm going to be continuing on with and putting up on radiofreeredoubt.com. This will be for week five, so this will be the next installment of the ongoing security series. And I want to bring your attention to two programs. And these, so I'm telling you now, so you can go ahead and if you're already up to speed and you're familiar with this, maybe go back to it, kind of refresh yourself with it to make sure. Yeah, maybe it's been a few weeks or maybe even a few months since you've done anything with these. Get back into them, kind of re-familiarize yourself. Or if you're ambitious and maybe this is new to you, and you're just hot to trot tonight, you want to just start researching it and looking for stuff and learning about it on your own, great, more power to you. Okay, but I just want to let you know that postings are on the way. So this week I want to talk about texting and files. Encrypting text and encrypting files. So it's just a matter of taking a note that you wrote in just maybe even just a Word document, copying and just highlight and copying that with your mouse and encrypting that text so you can copy and paste that encrypted text into anything, a chat. You could put it in an email. You could send it over radio if it were legal, or maybe in an emergency situation where your country's being invaded or something like that, and you're just like, the rules are actually old guidelines, but you need to get some type of message sent over the air. You could copy and paste that into any of our digital modes and send that to somebody, or as a TXT file. So you could encrypt that file, or you could just encrypt the text, but you could put it on a thumb drive in just a Word document to hand to a courier. You could post it somewhere on the internet. I mean, there's just a number of different things that you can do with encrypted text so that somebody on the other end can make use of it. So there are, or maybe you just want to keep things stored on your computer, maybe an ongoing list. Maybe you're planning a surprise birthday party for your spouse and you want to, you don't want them to see what you're planning for them, so you want to keep that there, and so it'll still be a surprise. I mean, there could be a bazillion reasons why you might want to protect information, data, medical information, banking information, what have you. So just for encrypting text or encrypting a file, there are two programs that I recommend. One is called PTE, or Paranoia Text Encryption. And Paranoia Works has a couple of programs, cross-platform. They work on all platforms, your Windows, Mac, and Linux, including your Raspberry Pi, which is a variation of Linux. But It doesn't come, paranoia text encryption does not come on Tails. And so for that reason, I'm giving you another one. And that's the GNU-PG or GNU-PG, which helps you create PGP encryption. That's the other program. So there are two programs. Paranoia Works is the name of the outfit. And they have a program called Paranoia Text Encryption and SSE File Encryption. Both of those are downloadable cross-platform. So if you're already familiar with PTE, maybe use it on a regular basis. Just refresh yourself with it. If you're not, I strongly recommend that you get PTE, at Paranoia Text Encryption at least, and preferably the file encryption. And get those downloaded so that you can start programming that stuff. So with PTE or Paranoia Text Encryption, you can do two things. You can encrypt text with a password. That's symmetrical encryption. And you can also, it also has a steganography feature built into PTE, Paranoia Text Encryption. So let's say you have an image. Maybe you have just an address for the secret meeting, as an example. And you want to distribute this address or grid coordinates for this meeting, but maybe you don't want it to be highlighted. You don't want to bring attention to it. Well, what you could do is take that grid coordinate or address and encrypt it using PTE, and then take that encrypted sentence and embed it into an image. So then you have a picture of your horse or a car, your Jeep or something like that, and hopefully not something you just snatched off the internet. Maybe it's a meme. Maybe it's a scripture of the day type of meme with a scripture and a picture of the sunrise and stuff like that. But you can embed plain text or encrypted text into an image without altering the image, as long as you don't try to put, you know, too much, like an entire paragraph or something on a small image. But it's called steganography. So then you could post that image online where the people in your inner circle know what that means. They know what that is. Or you could send it as an attachment. Hey, I hope you find this scripture encouraging, and you send it as an attachment. And but on the other end, it contains steganography or an embedded message that with this software we can extract the text out of what was hidden in that image. And you get into other more sophisticated steganography programs. You can embed data in any file, including a song, a MP3 song, and you can still listen to the song and it doesn't sound any different. You can't even tell there's a message hidden in it. But that audio file actually has a little, maybe a small sentence of grid coordinates or an address or instructions or, you know, something like that in it that only you and your friend knows about. So that's a great, great program. It does not come native with Tails or the Amnesic Incognito Live operating system, which hopefully by now you guys have had enough time. You should have been able to get yourself a couple of thumb drives inexpensively, preferably not the SanDisk, but decent quality like Samsung or one of these higher quality thumb drives, and have burned a copy of Tails onto that, including setting up a persistent drive so you can keep some information on there on a persistent drive. And then will you be able to start working with other things like Tor and Onion Browser, or the Tor Onion Share, and some of the other programs. One of the programs that comes with it is GNU-PG. Now, GNU-PG comes, I mean, it's available on Tails, on Raspberry Pi, on Linux, on Windows, on Mac. GNU-PG is open PGP. It's the standard for PGP encryption. So why don't I just exclusively just use PGP encryption? Well, let's say you have a very small amount of text that you encrypted text you want to send, maybe embed it into an image, which, by the way, GNU PG doesn't have steganography capabilities built into its program like PTE does. Let's say you have a paragraph that's just maybe one, maybe just a sentence long, 12 or 15 or 20 words in a sentence. You want to embed that in an image. Well, you can do that with the types of encryption, the AES and other types of encryption that comes with PTE. And it still remains a relatively short sentence. It's just encrypted. If you encrypt it using PGP, it instantaneously becomes this big block of a huge paragraph size, even if it's just a sentence of a 12, 15 word sentence you're trying to encrypt, it will create this large block that might be too large for you to embed in an image. It may be too large and cumbersome for you to send over, over the radio, there's other times when one or the other program would be best suited for the situation that you're in. So that's why I recommend having both. That gives you a lot of options and a lot of versatility, but both of them give you the capability of extremely powerful encryption. And the GNU PG lets you encrypt with a password or by exchanging keys with another person, just your public keys. Only you have your secret key. You give them your public key. And so when you receive, well, you'll be able to see it when you watch the tutorials. So the first set of tutorials on GNU PG is going to be just an introduction to GPG. It doesn't really get into the mechanics of actually encrypting text and files and things yet, because the first three videos really build your understanding of it so you know what its capabilities, limitations are, and a general understanding of how it works. And it's done in a very, very easy way for just about everybody to understand. Even if you're not tech savvy, you might not understand all the jargon they're using, but at least you have an idea of the concept of how it's supposed to work, which once you get into the fourth through the sixth videos, you'll understand what they're talking about and why. So I strongly encourage you to just be patient. They're not long videos, and it's a long-term investment in your overall knowledge and skills. So those videos will be posted there. Well, so there's a general overview. Be checking radiofreeredoubt.com for a posting Tuesday or Wednesday. It could come on either day, with instructions on a Tails and Tor browser exercise. So you've still got a couple more days to get your Tails operating system up and running. And then there will be a posting there with a small, easy exercise for you to actually play with some of the stuff that's built into Tails. And it'll be actually, like I said, a practical exercise. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a break. Come back with segment four and Lady Liberty, and we'll wrap things up. And don't go away.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment. Kind of a shorter show tonight because I was cutting firewood. Lost track of time, but we got a nice warm fire and it feels darn awesome. Good morning or good evening, Lady Liberty. How you doing?
Well, great. Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, doesn't that fire feel good?
It's awesome.
Delightful fall, our favorite time. Because we had like a week, maybe 2 weeks if we stretched it out, a firewood supply, and that was it. There's like no winter. We've not been able to get out. With everything else going on, it was just completely, we're like, wow. And so that firewood fund, we hit our goal. It was just
a huge blessing.
Yeah, I put a thing up this afternoon once we started calculating what we had, and we're like, oh wow, we've hit our goal, thank God. So yeah, I put that post up there. I think a couple others trickled in too after that, but that's okay. We'll still put it toward it. I mean, it's still going to be going to firewood related.
Yep.
You know, something, even if it's a replacing one of the tarps.
Well,
right?
To go from 107 degrees to all of a sudden 38 degrees tonight,
yeah,
right?
37 tonight, they're saying.
Yeah.
37 to 38.
And, so just in time.
Screech. Summer just like wham.
Yep. Yeah. You're done with summer.
Yep.
And so, okay. Well, so this evening, since this is going to be such a short segment, the thing that I really wanted to point out was that I thought was phenomenal was there's an Ohio lawsuit that is being filed against Google for anti-competitive behavior. Woohoo! An
really?
Attorney general actually gets it. Somebody that is elected into office right now actually understands communism, right?
Right. Good
and
point.
So, so
opposite
it says here,
of competition.
Well, exactly. That's the whole backbone.
Right.
No property rights, no individual rights, and absolutely no competition, no free markets.
Right.
So here we have, it says on Tuesday, Attorney General Dave Yost of Ohio, good for him, he's got a brain, filed a lawsuit against Google accusing the tech giant of discriminatory and anti-competitive behavior. Woohoo! The lawsuit moves to have Google declared a public utility, subjecting it to regulatory boards in the state. Tell me if that doesn't just rock. That was so, so smart of him to do that. To declare a public utility. That makes all the difference in the world. What he's saying is he says that the vast majority of Ohioans use the internet, and nearly all of those who do use Google search. Google is so ubiquitous that its name has become a verb.
Yes.
And so, you know,
Google
the fact,
it.
Yep.
Doesn't matter, even if you use DuckDuckGo or for whatever search engine, you're still Googling it.
Right. Yes. Right. I know. Yeah. The new word for looking for it is just Google it. Right. Yeah. And so it says here, this wide, practically unchallenged supremacy is a key argument for the state to consider it a public utility.
Wow. Great point.
I just think it's brilliant. And what a way to chop at the knee of communism.
Right.
Right. That'll bring it down. And so,
So if it is a utility, then it falls outside of the free market competition type. Okay, just like that's beautiful. You can't say, okay, I don't want to do business with Avista. I would rather buy my electricity from Kootenai Electric. Sorry.
You can't do that. Nope,
sorry,
nope,
it's only Avista here.
Yep, you're pretty much out of luck.
Right,
yep.
This is what you got to work with. And so I guess what that would do then would be to put certain restrictions on them so they couldn't act as a monopoly to the detriment of the consumer.
Right. And see, what we've been seeing happen is fascism, where the term public-private partnership, which is the new replacement word for fascism, the modern word, public-private partnerships are what are taking over utilities throughout states nationwide.
That's true.
And so in a way that they are getting them out of that control as a utility, they're now making a lot of money off of things that
selling
used to be
data.
Utilities,
yeah.
Right? And that aren't anymore. And so this Ohio AG is sharp, and he's doing the exact reverse. He's taking an actual company and making it a utility. And so that's I hope they can pull that off.
Yeah.
And I hope then everybody else gets wise and jumps on that same bandwagon.
Well, here's the other thing too. if you have such a corner on the market that you cannot essentially, without jumping all kinds, you can avoid Google. But, I mean, it is so cumbersome. It takes so much tech savvy. It's not something the average person could do.
Right.
Okay, it's like you could choose not to use Avista. You could just set up your own solar system, solar-powered system, right?
Right.
But the work, the technical expertise involved in that is beyond the scope of what a normal person can reasonably be expected to do as an alternative to Avista. So so Google can say, we don't like what you're saying because it's extremism. So we're blocking you. We're cutting you off. We're pulling down your video. So that would be just like Avista saying, you were flying a Christian flag, so we're cutting off your power.
Right. Well, and so listen to this. As it goes a little farther down in this article, it says, as further proof of this, the suit notes that Google dominates internet search globally and domestically. This domination is so widespread that nearly 90% of all internet searches are conducted through Google. On mobile devices, it says this dominance is even starker, with Google controlling 95% of all internet searches. And this dominance, it continues, is essentially impossible to break due to high barriers to entry in the field. Search engine algorithms improve, it notes, with each successive search. With its long history, Google has had time to improve its search engine well beyond competitors' search engines.
Right.
And so they're showing a supreme advantage over everything, which, wow, darn, they just fell into a category of a utility as far as I'm concerned.
Well, no, someone may argue, yeah, but you're not paying for their service like a utility, like Avista, right? You're just, you hop on your computer and you just use their service without paying them a dime. So, but there's another element there, and that is, hopefully, I'm sure that this AG is sharp enough to pick up on this. You are you are the product.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yep. Their search engine isn't the product.
Right.
You are. They are taking your data, everything you search for, plus your identity.
Yep.
They're customizing their marketing toward you and making tons of money off of it.
That's right.
So it's actually a reverse. It's almost like, we're not using their service. They're using our usage. They're capitalizing on our usage.
Right. Yeah. So I just was really super impressed to see that. I mean, sometimes people do some smart things, like Representative Gossar down there Gossar, I hope I'm not killing it,
right.
Down there in Arizona, who introduced the bill to ban legal immigration for the next 10 years because of all of the illegal immigration going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
I thought that was brilliant as well.
Yep.
So, yep.
If you're already in the pipeline, fine. We'll process you, but we're not even taking any more applications.
That's right. Makes
sense.
We're
not going to take legal until we can get illegal under control.
Right.
I love it. That's just the way it should be.
I agree.
Well, thanks for that. That's good. Like we said, this is going to be just a short segment, just kind of a short show all the way around. But I still got a lot of work to do. I got to keep plugging away on getting all these postings together and all the videos embedded. So by tomorrow or maybe Tuesday morning, I can get those for those guys for all that PGP encryption I'm
That's
covering.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, good stuff. And I didn't produce the videos either. I'm just taking videos, very, very well done videos that others have done, and embedding those. Why reinvent the wheel? They did such a great job. So.
That's right.
But yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that. It's good insights, and we'll track this. We'll see where that ends up going.
Yep. Hopefully super productive. Hopefully. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, we'll do this all over tomorrow morning in just less than 12 hours.
That's
actually.
Right.
But yeah, 10 and a half hours. We'll be seeing you guys on the air at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute.
That's right. And thank you all for joining us and for contributing to that firewood fund of ours. And have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed evening.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, guys. Yes, ditto to that. That's just God bless you all. Thank you so much for your generosity. We are so grateful and we don't take that for granted. So, okay, with that, you've been listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name, too. Good night.